100 years ago, a band leader named Polk Miller led an unusual recording session. Miller, who was white, laid down 7 songs with a black vocal quartet. The recordings have now been reissued, offering a chance to listen to an almost unknown moment in musical history. Joel Rose has the story of the recordings and Polk Miller, who was no civil rights activist.
Engineers from the Edison Company hauled their equipment from New Jersey to Richmond, Virginia, a big deal in 1909. There they documented one of the first interracial recording sessions in American history.
It was good for mother and father. It was good for mother and father. It was good for mother and father. And it's good enough for me.
The old-time religion. The old-time religion, the old-time religion is good enough for me.
The leader was 65-year-old singer and banjo player Polk Miller.
He put together the first truly integrated vocal band that was recorded.
Record collector Ken Flaherty produced the CD reissue of these recordings. He says you'd have a hard time finding a more unlikely champion of African-American music than Polk Miller.
He glorified black music while at the same time wearing the stars and bars, standing up for the legacy of the Confederacy.
Miller fought for the Confederacy in the Civil War. He even made his quartet accompany him on a Confederate marching song.
Hurrah, hurrah, for South and right, hurrah. Hurrah, for the funny blue flag, it bears a single star. Hurrah,
hurrah.
Polk Miller grew up on his father's plantation in Virginia, where he learned how to play banjo from listening to slaves. He made a fortune in the pharmacy business after the war. In the 1890s, when he was in his 50s, Miller handed the business over to his son and went back to his first love, African-American music. Ken Flaherty says he took it seriously.
Nobody at the time was really trying to collaborate with blacks. I mean, it was unheard of. It was all cakewalking. It was minstrel singing. It was, you know, blackface comedy.
Miller didn't play black music and culture for laughs, as most white performers did at the time. Tim Brooks is the author of the book Lost Sounds, Blacks and the Birth of the Recording Industry. He says Miller's performances were an anomaly.
He was the leader, and he would play a song, he would have the quartet sing a song, and then he'd talk about it and where this song came from. So it was a combination of entertainment and education, I guess you'd say.
And you told about Jerusalem morning, the air, good Lord. And you're talking about Jerusalem morning, the air.
The act was a hit, in part because of the endorsement of Miller's friend, Mark Twain. Producer Ken Flaherty says the group toured widely.
These guys played Carnegie Hall. They played all the big cities, you know, Cleveland, Cincinnati, Louisville, Detroit. They were immensely popular, and some of the tickets, I have receipts from the 1890s that were 50 cents a person to get in, which was a considerable amount of money at the time.
Still, Polk Miller did not use his platform to call for black equality. On the contrary, Miller used the N-word frequently, and he was openly nostalgic for the days of slavery. Nevertheless, author Tim Brooks says Miller did future generations a favor.
He was preserving what this music, this culture of black America was really like and what it sounded like in the 1840s and 1850s when he had been growing up. No one else was doing that.
Polk Miller broke up his quartet in 1911 when he decided it was too dangerous to keep touring with an interracial group. Miller died 2 years later. The music they recorded in 1909 fell out of print for most of the 20th century. While Miller has been rediscovered, his vocalists remain largely anonymous. Out of the 20 or so singers who worked with him in the Old South Quartet over the years, only 2 have ever been identified by name, Randall Graves and James Stamper. For NPR News, I'm Joel Rose.
And you're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Block. As we talked about elsewhere in our program, President Obama's tour of China featured a meeting today with students. Meanwhile, some of the rock musicians those young Chinese listen to are touring the U.S. China's rock scene may be relatively new, but its inspiration is not. As Zoe Chase reports, one of the biggest rock bands in China has old-school punk roots.
The members of PK14 are lost in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. They're searching for a store that sells used musical equipment.
Yeah, right here they got the music.
Yeah, that's it.
Lead singer Yang Hai Song doesn't stand out at all in this Brooklyn neighborhood, what with his tight pea coat, black skinny jeans, black framed glasses. Inside Main Drag Music, the band is trying to pick an amplifier for tonight's show. They ask the clerk how each one is different.
This is more of like a real just like 70s rock.
70s rock, right?
Yeah.
The floors are crowded with amplifiers. The musicians' eyes are wide and they're giggling madly. The amp they like is a bright orange amp labeled Orange.
Just so you mean the distortion is really good for this one.
Early 70s. Yeah. A lot of British bands used these in the early 70s. So
yes.
Has that real like...
Yeah.
Kind of sound.
They'll take two.
It's quite hard to find second-hand music store in China.
Yang Hai Song.
70s, 60s. We have no history, yeah. We have no history. So we just find a new one. But it's very hard to find Orange.
The 60s was the heyday of rock and roll in the West. Yang Hai Song tells me Beijing's rock and music development is about the 70s now. They don't have much to look back on.
When we're growing up, everything's changing very fast.
Hai Song is 36. He's restless and jerky, like a character in a silent movie, constantly smoking and jumping about.
End of the Cultural Revolution and beginning of the economy revolution. Past 20 years is crazy in China. It's chaos.
Hai Song grew up in Nanjing, a city west of coastal Shanghai. He dropped out of school where he was studying to be an engineer.
And at that time, I started to listen to rock music. I think that's a reason.
Yes, he dropped out of school because he listened to rock. And yes, his parents were horrified. He and the other would-be rockers in Nanjing found each other.
We almost found everybody in Nanjing who listened to rock music. It's quite small, so we every afternoon hang around, stay together to exchange the cassette, you know, exchange the music, you know, talk about what kind of music is good and what you like.
I asked Hai Song how rock and roll they really were back then, meaning smash the state like The Clash, and stick it to the man. Remember, this is post-Tiananmen.
If you choose to be a rock musician, it's an attitude, you know. You don't need to say anything, just this attitude is like that. In lifestyle, it's like that. You just listen to the rock music, that's a rebellion.
Showtime. Glasslands, one of many places to see live music in Brooklyn. Back in Beijing, there are few major rock clubs, but there is D22. It's a dive bar in the University District. It's got dark, red-chipped walls, a messy, rude aesthetic. Opened by Westerners 3 years ago who craved a punk setting for the punk bands they were hearing, it's been called Beijing CBGB. The club recently started a label, Maybe Mars. It's one of the only indie rock labels in the whole country. Xiao He, Carsick Cars, and PK14 are its stars. And those are the bands playing at Glasslands tonight. The question is, who shows up? Answer, place is packed.
This is the only line I've ever seen outside of Glass. I've been coming to Glasslands for 5 years and there's never...
Standing behind Jake Friedman in line is Vita Engstrand.
Earlier tonight when I was hanging out in a pizzeria in Williamsburg, telling the other people at the table about which show we were going to, they were very jealous because they're going to a slightly less cool show at Death by Audio, so I won tonight.
And thank you for coming, thank you guys.
PK14 kills. Hai Song grabs the mic stand like Elvis and screams into it. The Williamsburg crowd is cheering. After the show, Yang Hai Song immediately heads outside to smoke.
When we form the band or play guitar, like start to learn chords, I cannot dream I can play on the stage, you know. Just like I play myself, try to learn some songs from Bob Dylan, just like that. Woody Guthrie, something. You never dream I'm gonna play outside of China. But it's like a dream, you know, like day down, and step by step, you know. And now finally we play New York. It's like surreal, you know.
The dream lasts for another week. Then the members of PK14 and the other bands head back to Beijing, to maybe the fastest growing punk rock scene in the world. And why wouldn't it be in the country with what seems like the fastest growing everything else? For NPR News, I'm Zoe Chase.
Musician Alexis Puentes has been in the family business since the age of four. That's when he joined his dad and a group of 24 guitarists in a performance aired on Cuban national TV. His father, respected guitarist and teacher Valentin Puentes, was so particular about his children's musical education that he controlled the music Alexis listened to. Alexis Puentes now goes by the name Alex Cuba in his music. You can hear how he's blended his father's musical influence and stories from the Cuban countryside with a touch of 70s soul.
Con su alegua y su chango, luciendo al pecho mil collares. Pregunto sobre la estera si alguna estrella me alumbraría. Y leyó los caracoles como poesía. Tienes, dijo, problemas porque se enredan tus fantasías buscando otro camino que volvería.
Alex Cuba's new CD is called Agua del Pozo, and that translates as well water. It's just been released in the United States on the Caracol label, and Alex Cuba is here with his guitar in NPR studio for a welcome. What a treat to meet you.
Nice to meet you, Lynn.
The clip that we played was from your song Fiesta Religion, which is translated as religious celebration. And in it, because you do offer English translations of your songs on the liner notes, you evoke the gods Chango and Alegua. What do they mean to you? Who are they?
They belong to the diaspora of Afro-Cuban religion as one of the many names that has been called. One of them is Santeria. I think it's the one that people seem to know the most. Chango, for example, is the god of the thunder, and Alegua is the god of the good fortune, the door opener, you know. But through music, you know, I was exposed to all of that, you know, since I was born.
Well, you're going to play a song for us, and it's called Vampiro, mm-hmm. which means vampire.
It's I believe it's my favorite song on the album.
Really?
And it's due to the, I don't know, the uniqueness of the poetry. Actually, that was Ruben Blades. I don't know if you...
Oh, sure.
It was his pick, you know, from my album. He thought it was a beautiful song. He called it very original, and to him, very Cuban still.
And you'll be singing in Spanish?
Yes, it's in Spanish. As I always say in my shows, you know, if you don't speak Spanish, you know, chances are you'll be singing anyway.
Here's Alex Cuba with Vampiro.
Estoy aquí, vine a buscar tu corazón, porque no te olvido y como si fuera el más furioso, te llevaré conmigo, tú me haces un vampiro. Mientras que negro me iré volando siempre a tu encuentro. No es nada lejos cuando me alcanza tu olor al viento. Yo sé que tú amas lo nuestro. Y no lo digas, es un secreto, es amor perfecto. Yo sé que tú amas lo nuestro. Y no lo digas, es un secreto, es amor perfecto. Perfecto. Esta noche yo quiero estar contigo, amarnos escondidos, ser vampiro de tu amor. Esta noche yo quiero estar contigo, amarnos escondidos, ser vampiro de tu amor. Esta noche yo quiero estar contigo, amarnos escondidos, ser vampiro de tu amor.
Vampiro, performed by Alex Cuba in Studio 4A. Boy, that's pretty happy music for someone who has been turned into a vampire of love by his girlfriend. Usually we expect something a little bit more moody. That laid-back sound, though, it's not, I mean, if I were to say Cuban musician, I think the thing that would come to people's minds would be, and you have this on your CD, which is brass instruments and the drums and bongos, but you have soul influences. Our listeners can't see you, but you have a wonderful afro.
Circo
70s with some sly stone
sideburns.
Thank you. So what kind of soul music did you listen to, and who were the songwriters you admire?
When I was around 10 years old, I discovered, of course, Michael Jackson. From there, I moved to the electric bass when I was 14. And through the electric bass, I discovered American music, you know, jazz, funk. One of the voices that I remember really impacting me was Ray Charles.
Yes.
I didn't have a clue what he was singing about, right? But I guess today I can say that it was the soul quality. I started writing songs, and then I was calling my dad to listen to them. And my dad would say, oh, I love you. Where are you going with the poetry and stuff like that? You know, change this word for another one. But don't sing, my dear, because you don't have a voice of a singer. What he was meaning is that most likely you are to find in Cuba, you know, voices that are as bright as a horn, you know, to be able to command a 16-piece band or something like that, right? I don't know. I don't even remember how it happened, but I started singing. And from the moment I opened my mouth, people loved it. And I said, you know what? We have a singer.
You're going to play another tune for us. This is one that is called Si, Pero No.
Yes, but no.
Yes, but no.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can imagine the rest.
Okay.
El silencio me agita, me rompe la calma. Una fiebre bajita se convierte en ansias de zafar el nudo que llevo en el alma desde que la he visto enamorada. Sí, pero no, porque yo sé que su amor no me conviene, no, pero sí. Que puede ser mejor que lo que ella tiene, sí, pero no, porque yo sé que su amor no me conviene, no, pero sí, que puede ser mejor que lo que ella tiene. Si al mirarte miraras, yo sería un espejo, y quizás te engañara al reflejar tu cuerpo. Ay, harías la prisa devorando el tiempo dentro de mis ojos lo que siento. Dentro de mis ojos lo que yo siento. Sí, pero no, porque yo sé que su amor no me conviene, no. Pero sí, que puede ser mejor que lo que ella tiene. Sí, pero no. No, pero sí. Sí, pero no. Porque yo sé que su amor no me conviene, no. Pero sí, que puede ser mejor que lo que ella tiene. Sí, pero no. Porque yo sé que su amor no me conviene, no. Pero sí, que puede ser mejor que lo que ella tiene. Sí. Pero no.
Si, pero no, performed by Alex Cuba in Studio 4A. You have a twin brother?
I do.
Is his name Adonis?
Yes.
Yes, and he's a salsa singer.
He is, yeah.
Do you collaborate with one another?
Yeah, for example, the first song I play, Vampiro, is written by Adonis and I. Yeah.
How does your dad feel about your career now? I mean, you're singing For money.
Well, not only for that.
No. For love. For love. We know it's all for love.
Well, I had the pleasure to say that. What do you think? What do you think of my singing? You know, and he said, "Well, my son, the way you sing it there is very beautiful. It's like you touch my heart every time I hear it." And I said, "You know what? What you hear in there is not my voice. It's my heart, because I don't go by any norm, by any cue and norm of what is to sing. You know, so if I'm touching your heart, you know, I think I am the best singer. You know, that you could ever hear."
And he loves the
now he's my biggest fan.
Alex Cuba in NPR Studio 4A. His new CD is Agua del Pozo, out on Caracol Records. Our thanks to Studio 4A engineer Neil Tivolt. To hear songs from Alex Cuba's in-studio visit and to watch a video of his performance, you can visit our website, nprmusic.org. This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Leanne Hansen.